I'm for it. I thought me and Drake were having a splendid conversation.
But the Ron,
you like that?
The Rodecaster just picked up all of this just now. I didn't have the Rodecaster.
I'm good with that. I didn't say anything offensive. I just called Kirk a loser, basically. Yeah, that's basically it, which I do all the time.
Okay, let's give this one more go.
Let's do it. Uh-huh.
Santana. I like that, man. Got the double, pa 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 pa. That's hot. That's hot. I like that. Who am I? Yeah, who are you? Santana. Man. Y'all think niggas don't cry, man?
You think niggas don't cry?
Yeah, man. I gotta get my thoughts together, man.
You think real niggas don't cry?
I've been thinking a lot, man.
Light up a blunt.
Keep crying sometimes.
Have 2 3-legged parlays relying on the Raiders, and they blow it in overtime by fumbling the ball. Tell me if real niggas don't cry. Welcome to another episode of the Bad Influence Podcast. I'm your down bad host, Devlin Taylor, here with my guys, Jay Bird, live from Hawaii, and one Drake and Bake in Miami, where they're probably going crazy right now, but he's not.
I'm down bad.
Well, I tell you, I was the definition of a loser this weekend, okay? That's the only way I can describe myself as a loser. I lost
that parlay, though.
That was the only win I think I had.
That means you didn't lose that bet. When you make 4-leg parlays like that, you only got to win one.
Dude,
you know?
It was bloodbath. And on top of that, I lost in fantasy. I just lost. I was just losing on Sunday. It was bad. Oh, my gosh. I told Jay before we started, right now they got the replay of the Ravens and Dolphins game on, but I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit. How was you guys' football Sunday enjoying experience?
Mine was pretty great, honestly. I had a couple of losses early, but they weren't too bad, and I did also get a couple wins. And the Eagles really came through for me. I doubled down on them. Like I was telling Drake, I chased my losses, and it worked out for me. So I made a little bit of money on the weekend, and then on top of that, my fantasy team's killing because I got Jalen Hurts and all them. So, like, I'm 2-0. I'm right now the number one projected to win my fantasy league. So, I'm feeling pretty great.
That's great. I'm glad someone had a good weekend. I love. Drake, how was your viewing experience? I know you had a troubling 1 o'clock experience.
So, I was out. So, I had to, you know, source any information I could for the game. So, at first, I saw it on TV. I saw the Duvernay kick return for a touchdown, opening kickoff. I said, fantastic. You know, this is what I like to see. And then periodically, I'd see a TV here and there. And, you know, we were up. It was great. And then I got in the car and I was driving back to Miami and I was listening to it on the radio. That's where everything went bad. Yeah. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, I will say that has to be the worst, getting it through like sources, and you hear like, oh, we're up 28-7. Oh, man, let me go have a great time. And you get back like, wait, what the fuck? I heard we were up in the third quarter. Wait, what? But man, they weren't the only ones who blew loss. It was a crazy NFL weekend, week two. Starting off Thursday night, we had the first Amazon Prime Thursday night game, and it was a star-studded one. The Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert went out to Kansas City, and they lost to Kansas City 27-24. Now, Jay, you said later on you'd like to discuss that game, so that will be Jay's game of the week to talk about. Next up on the schedule, we got the 1 o'clock games. The Jets went over to Cleveland and somehow got a win. Cleveland was up in this game. And when the Jets scored to make it a one-possession game with 90 seconds less, the Cleveland Browns had, do you guys know the percentage they had of winning that game still? A 99% chance of winning that game. 99% chance of winning that game. 1% of losing, chance of losing. And if that 1% can happen, it can happen to none other than the Cleveland Browns. They lost 31-30 to the Jets.
To the elite quarterback. No. You forgot to mention that.
Joe Flacco was playing.
Yeah, elite quarterback.
Thank you very much. No. You don't beat the Browns and say you're elite. Next up, we have what was one of the more disappointing games. the fucking Commanders, whatever the fuck they are, they went out to Detroit and just, I don't know why, they might as well stayed. We could have went because they put up a shit-ass performance in the first half. They got.
I don't know why you said disappointing. I don't know why you said disappointing. I loved that game.
For so many reasons, it was disappointing.
I was a moneymaker. I had fantasy players do well. I'm a Lions fan all day. I love to see that shit. They beat the hell out of them.
Obviously, I'm going to want to talk about that game. We'll talk about that later on. Tampa Bay went out to New Orleans, and Tampa Bay got the win, but it was a little risky down there. There's something I want to talk about with that fight that went down between Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore that I feel no one else is really mentioning. And we can get to it later, but what the fuck was Bruce Arians doing down there?
Supporting. Oh, yeah, I thought he was in the booth. I thought he wasn't even a coach.
Right?
I think he's general manager or something. He, like, works front office, right?
Because I'm watching it, and, like, I think I said to my grandfather, I was like, man, Bruce Arians better get his place. I was like, wait, he's not the coach. Why is he there? But I want to talk about that later. Carolina went down to New York, and they lost to the Giants 19-16. Did you guys see any of this game?
I just saw the Giants score. That's it.
Not much to say about this game, but I will say, Baker Mayfield, you need to stop talking shit. You should probably shut the fuck up. Because literally everyone he's talked shit about has gotten their revenge on him. And I don't want to go too much into the whole him and Daniel Jones beef. There's really no beef. I just know Baker did an interview, and what I find crazy is they didn't even ask him about Daniel Jones. He volunteered his opinion on Daniel Jones. He just put it out there, and they were like, oh, this is gold. Perfect. He said, I don't know why they drafted Daniel Jones.
Baker Mayfield is the Patrick Beverly of the NFL.
That I can't say that.
That's who he is. He just talks a lot of shit. He's like, I came from grit. I've been doing this. I do whatever I gotta do to win. Fuck you. And then they get, like, to the playoffs and, like, eliminated first round. Sometimes they don't even make playoffs. Like, that's who he is.
Well, he probably should stop because he's never gotten his revenge, as I said last episode. And he went out and lost to the New York Football Giants, who are now 2-0 at the top of the division with another team. This next game I didn't see much of, but I saw people calling for a quarterback change in this game, and that was one New England at Pittsburgh. New England went and won 17-14. I guess Mitch Trubisky looked really, really fucking bad because all of Steelers Twitter was just going crazy.
Are you joking? That like, sense. That guy's garbage. Like, he's that makes not sense good. Because
he is really, really bad, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Because I don't like, I have to defend Mitch Trubisky. He's not.
Don't start.
He's not the best quarterback. He probably is the 32nd quarterback, best quarterback in the league. Like, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, I can't believe that with all the weapons that they have, that he can't make something happen. I don't know. It's just weird to me. He made something happen in Chicago, and they barely had shit, you know? So, I don't know. They went out and lost that game. People were calling for Kenny Pickett to come in. I don't know what they're going to do here. This next game, this one brought me joy. Jacksonville went and just beat the shit out the Indianapolis Colts 24-9.
Shut him out.
Matt Ryan looked horrible. Through 11 drives, he didn't score not once. In the past 2 weeks, he is now tied with the Texans and not scored against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were both bottom of the division last year. John, you made a horrible bet and you picked the Colts for the Super Bowl. How do you feel about this?
So I don't feel great about it. I've kind of pivoted off of it, but I will say it's not over yet.
It's over.
There are teams that have won the Super Bowl after going 0-2. And if you look at their division, it is trash. So all those right now they look like trash too, but maybe Matt Ryan's old ass just needs to settle in, you know, get to know his surroundings, try to teach an old dog new tricks type deal. And I think he'll just settle in. Maybe they got to get a win this week. If they don't win, no, teams don't win when they go 0-3. So if they lose this week, it's over. I made a bad bet.
Well, to be fair, they're 0-1-1. I will say to your point that teams to go 0-2 and make it all time. That's true. Normally they don't lose to the Texans and the Lions back to back though.
It was the Texans and the Jaguars.
Sorry.
The Jaguars are actually all right this year. I'm not going to write them off. The Texans, that seems like it's a little embarrassing too, but maybe they're not bottom of the barrel as much as we thought. Maybe that's more reserved for the Commanders. And, you know, there's got to be other shitty teams out there. Oh, the Browns and the Jets. And, like, maybe there's even worse teams out there. But everyone else, like, even the Titans are 0-2. And I consider this division to be between the Colts and the Titans. So right now, the Colts are ahead of the Titans, and so I'm not going to give up on the Colts yet. I'm not liking it. I'm certainly not liking being 0-1-1, but I'm not quite giving up on them yet. I did kind of pivot to the Chargers, though.
I will talk about the Titans later because I do have some thoughts on them. You're right. The Jaguars probably aren't as bad as we thought they were. Maybe they're going to be all right. I don't know. Trevor Lawrence is... I don't know. I guess
maybe the Jaguars could sneak it. They could sneak it, but I still think it's between the Colts and the Titans.
You said in that that the Commanders are bottom of the barrel. That's a compliment. You should find bottom of the barrel is where I mean I'd like to be at the bottom of the barrel. I don't even know if we're in the barrel at this point anymore.
Through the barrel on the underground.
I'm actually glad you guys understand that, you know, you guys have pride that you guys aren't really a good team and you guys are okay with it. You know you guys are working on it, but you guys aren't in denial.
That team means nothing to me at this point. Don't even sweat.
See this here? This is notes on them.
It's refreshing.
These are notes I have on them, and there's a whole separate page for Ron Rivera's ass. On to the next game. Sorry, Drake. No, man. Back to back for both of us. As we talked about earlier, Miami went out to Baltimore, and things were looking good for Baltimore. Lamar was looking great.
Looks good. Yeah, offense. The offense looks good.
The phrase "pay him now" was trending on Twitter. It was going crazy. Everyone, John Morant even got in on it. Everyone was saying, "Give Lamar his money." And then Tua had something to say about that. They end up winning 42-38. Tua had over 400 yards and six touchdowns.
Six in a row.
Six fucking touchdowns. Tua. Tagovailoa. Tua did.
I mean, they got Tyreek Hill, who I think might be the best receiver in the game. It's him and Kupp. I think it's him and Kupp, and that's all I'll take. I won't take Davante Adams anymore. You know, he's a great receiver if he's got great chemistry with his quarterback and all that stuff. But if you talk about a guy you can just plug in, he's immediately a huge impact. It's like Cooper Kupp and Tyreek.
Tyreek. That was mad. Drake, how are you feeling about that? I know you're a Baltimore fan.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have no real large complaints with the offense. You know, we looked good. We were running the ball pretty well. Our pass game was pretty good. You know, Jackson did some moves with his legs, ran for a touchdown. Appreciated that. It was just the second half defense. Like, I don't know if we hit the snooze button way too hard, and then we said, ha, 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 there's no way they'll catch up. Ha, ha, ha. They caught up.
That's how it happens.
That's how it happens.
And like, we just got caught lacking, and it was just so embarrassing to see the news. Like, literally the radio was saying, oh, Tua's on the move. Miami's going down the line. They just scored every single drive they had. It was just – it was out of pocket. It was really out of pocket. I was getting heated. I was about to turn off the radio. I was getting pretty heated. So.
I was watching it. It looked like the Ravens had it, and I'm like hanging out with my brother, and he's like, "We play like Yu-Gi-Oh sometimes." And we were like, "This game's over. Let's play a couple games of Yu-Gi-Oh." And like behind my back, Tua like came back on one time. And I was like, "Wow, they're like right back in this game." And I saw the game winner, but I did like that game though, because y'all talked me into benching CeeDee Lamb for Rashad Bateman, and I did it, and that worked out. It was nice.
Here's what I will say. I know that it was a negative that they lost, but the positive is that I think for Lamar, and that he can stop, that he can at least put to rest all of this. He's a running quarterback. He should have been a running back. That should be deaded, regardless of
the That should have been deaded a long time ago. They're still going to do it.
All three of us can agree on that. But the way he was throwing that ball, he was making incredible throws. That outpost that he threw, it was just amazing throws where it was just like, this dude's a quarterback. Like, stop saying that he's a receiver playing quarterback. He's a quarterback. He plays the quarterback position well and probably better than most. And that's just what it is. And I know some of these college analysts and sports analysts, I think a lot of times they don't want to go back on their takes because they end up like how Colin Cowherd has these horrible takes about, you know, Greg Oden is going to be better than Kevin Durant. They don't want that comeback on him. Well, you said it. All right, if you're going to make a bold declaration, you got to accept the fact when you're wrong. I've come over here and said some of the dumbest shit before. Like, oh, the Commanders, they can cover the spread. And they've gone out there and lost. And they fucked me. Like, you just got to go out there and accept it when, you know, you're wrong. That's just it. On to the next game. Did anyone catch this one? Atlanta at LA, the Rams?
No.
I saw this on Red Zone. The Rams won 31-27, but they almost blew it also. Like, no one's talking about that because we sealed it and Falcons it and lost. But they nearly blew it and gave up a big lead in the fourth quarter. They're in a little bit of trouble. I don't think anyone's talking about it. I mean, they, of course, beat the Falcons because it's the Falcons. But I'm not sure if they're going to be able to maintain in the playoffs with the way they've been playing so far. And I know it's week two, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think that they're like Super Bowl contenders this year. But I do still think they're going to win their division.
I don't know. Jimmy G's back, baby.
Yeah, sure. Jimmy G's back. You're right.
Speaking of which, Seattle at San Francisco. Oh, by the way, we moved on to 4 o'clock games.
That game was boring. Boring. I saw that game because it was like one of the only games on, and 49ers just stomped the hell out of them. Even though the Seahawks tried to give away the game, and the 49ers were letting them in it, but eventually the Seahawks succeeded in giving away the game.
Of course, you saw this game. Trey Lance went down with a season-ending ankle injury.
Oh yeah.
Which then led to none other than a quarterback with a winning percentage of 76%, and that would be Jimmy Garoppolo. Entering the game, and somehow the odds raised for them to go to Super Bowl.
Trey Lance, another victim of Kyle, the quarterback demolisher.
I don't know. That run he made was – I didn't like that run. Where he got hurt on, I don't think he should have – I don't know. I think
– Well, I wonder if Kyle went over that in practice. I wonder.
I forgot he said some shit like that. Kyle Shanahan, I don't know. I think he clearly wants – He's looking at all his underlings, his Sean McVays, and what's the guy out in Miami? Mike McDaniel, the Green Bay coach, everyone who was under him at some point, they were together. They got this high-power offense that they all run, and he wants that too, which is why I don't think he really wants Jimmy Garoppolo there. But on the other hand, he's like, I don't really have any other better option to go for. And I think that's why he wants Trey Lance to work. And I'm not saying that Trey Lance won't work. I'm just saying, I don't know. It's hard for Kyle, I think, to watch that. Not that I care that it's hard for him. I still think they could possibly win the division now that Jimmy's back in. Anything's possible.
Well, I mean, I think that you can go out and find a quarterback to fit your system. Like, Sean McVay did it. So, like, at the end of the day, this is on Mike Shanahan. He's gotten everything he's asked for, like, almost in an absurd fashion. He's gotten Trent Williams. He's gotten, you know, the Trey Lance. They wanted Trey Lance. And he even gets to keep Jimmy Garoppolo as a failsafe. Like, he's gotten everything he wants. And
no, you're 100% right.
He deliver.
He's gotten everything he wanted. You're 100% right. I just think he
looks. And he's slaughtered quarterbacks in his path.
Like who?
I remember a certain Robert Griffin.
That was his daddy.
Third.
That was his father who did that. His father ruined that man's career.
He was in there.
The legacy.
He gets it from his daddy.
Next game, speaking of quarterbacks who are looking a little. Cincinnati went out to that dumbass stadium in Dallas, but they lost 20-17. They tried to make it a game in the fourth quarter. Couldn't do anything. Cooper Rush filling in for the injured Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones is trying to say he'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, it was an ankle.
But why
thing,
is
so
this
maybe,
guy talking?
But...
Seriously, why is this guy talking?
No,
like,
he doesn't.
Who
want,
is this guy?
I don't know. I don't know why he say that. They literally said he has a thumb injury. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. This is an automatic injury, and he's going to. I think you could possibly come back in two. I think you're going to do something illegal that's against protocol in the NFL. That man comes back in 2 weeks, and I think you guys.
I forgot it was a thumb.
I forgot
it was a thumb. I thought it was like an ankle or some shit.
No, it's his thumb. Like,
his throwing thumb. Like, it got hurt pretty bad in that game.
Yeah, I think that, like, the problem is they're going to be, like, did they win? Yeah, they won yesterday, but they're going to be, like, 1-5, and they're going to be rushing him back on the field. He's not going to be ready. The Cowboys are going to be bad. It's like, that's the only team that's going to be worse in the division than the Commanders, which is a little bit crazy.
And I think, honestly, they need to just stick with Cooper Rush. He knows how to play a back – he knows how to be a backup quarterback. He doesn't leave the pocket. He doesn't scramble around. He's not trying to get extra yards.
Nah,
he's throwing
dude.
It. And that defense they got is legit. And if that defense can carry them, and he can just go back there and manage like he did against the Bengals. Now, granted, I saw some of those sacks that Joe Burrow took. Some of them was the line and the fact that it's a new offensive line. It's four new offensive linemen, and they're still trying to gel. some of that also was on him. He took some really bad, like, sacks where it was like, that was stupid. And I'm not saying, you know, the line's going to get it together, of course, but they need him to get together fast because he cannot, he won't make it to week four if he's taking five sacks a game. It's just not going to happen.
He's going
to
get hurt.
He's already gotten hurt before and had to miss the rest of the season his rookie year. You got to figure something out and talk to him at least and say, hey, what are you doing? You didn't do this last year. Figure that shit out. Next game, Houston at Denver. Anybody see this game?
I didn't even notice that game.
Caught it on the red zone. You wouldn't have noticed it. It was quite boring. Russell Wilson, I tell you, when he's not electrifying, he knows how to quarterback a boring-ass game. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, my gosh. The lack of scoring during that game. It got to the point where I was like, please, someone take a lead so we can start running some clock and get this game over with. Not much to talk here about that one. This next game. The Arizona Cardinals went out to Las Vegas. Now, Drake, I know you had to be upset knowing your Baltimore Ravens blew a lead. But here's where you can find solace and comfort. And knowing that your fan base wasn't popping champagne bottles in the third quarter going fucking crazy until your team ended up blowing a lead they had against Kyler Murray, who looked rattled, as always. But he found a way back in there because in the fourth quarter, he was down on the two, and he got into that mode where he starts running around like a little jackrabbit and can't nobody really catch him or touch him. So they lose that game in overtime after a fumble, the second fumble from Hunter Renfrow. And not only did they lose that, they lost me everything. They lost me several parlays.
They ruined your life.
They ruined my Sunday is what happened. I had them as picking to win the division. Don't have that anymore. You guys saw that game, that embarrassment?
I actually caught the end of that game, and I also had the Raiders covering, and they blew it. But as far as that guy popping champagne mid-third quarter, it frustrated me first, and then I realized, like, they're in Vegas. Like, they'll pop champagne over anything. Like,
The sun's out. Time to pop champagne.
Exactly. The sun's out. Pop champagne. You know, I won my bet. Pop champagne. Like, I got away with throwing that dead hooker in the garbage. Like,
again.
I pop champagne. Like, you know, popping champagne over here.
Kyler at the end of this game, and I guess no one's really talking about it, but I saw it. I kind of see things, and I start thinking about them. He said that they asked him, you know, what went down in the fourth quarter, and he said, I just had to take over. I don't know why that bothered me.
Because the way, probably in that instance that he said it, probably sounded like, yo, what's your problem, dude?
He said, I just had to take over. Motherfucker, do that every
game. As if his team's not doing anything.
Like, yeah, like, do that every game then. If you could take over every game, go 16-0. But you can't do that every game because you can exhaust. What happens is he can run around and he can exhaust the D-line out, especially towards the end of the game. Problem is, that's not going to win all 16, 14 football games. You can't do that each game and expect to win. That's just ridiculous.
There's going to be teams who have a guy who know how to deal with him.
Exactly. Like, they're going to have higher energy, more energy. You ran into a D-line that probably got gassed fourth quarter. They were tired. You ran around.
It was overtime. The two.
Overtime came. Then Hunter Renfrow, he fumbled the ball as they went try to win.
Doesn't he have to see Aaron Donald twice? So, like, he'll be humble.
I don't know. How many times has Aaron Donald sacked that little boy?
I don't know, but he's a pretty good matchup for Kyler Murray because it's like one finger on him, he'll knock him down.
Yeah, man, he knows how to get back to him. I think, was it last year when, like, Kyler tried to do one of those little jackrabbit things and that nigga Aaron Donald grabbed his jersey and threw him to the ground?
Like, yanked him.
Ragdoll. Like,
he looks like a
tissue out of a box.
Like a little boy.
He is like the anti-Kyler Murray.
Final Sunday game, Sunday night, Green Bay, Chicago at Green Bay. Hey guys, did you know once that Aaron Rodgers said he owned the Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know why you know that? They mentioned it 1,000 times on Sunday Night Football. They couldn't stop talking about it.
Yes, they did.
They couldn't stop talking about it. Each time, you know Aaron Rodgers. He says he owned the Chicago Bears. Please, Chris Collinsworth, you got to find something
else. To be fair, like, what else are you going to talk about? The game is boring because Aaron Rodgers is too busy owning the Bears. Like, it's like, what else are you going to talk about?
I have an interesting theory on what I think the Packers should do that maybe we'll talk about later with Aaron Rodgers. I think they need to cut that toxic But that's something we talk about later. They won this game 27-10. You said it right, John. Not much happened. You know, Justin Fields. Ooh.
Except for your bet. Your bet went right.
My bet did go right. That was the one bet I did win. Justin Fields, we forgot. I don't know. We can mention that real briefly, real quick. He had some comments after the game when asked about, I guess he was asked, you know, how to feel. You know, the fans are upset they lost. And he replied back, like, it hurts more for us to lose than it does for the fans because they're not out there playing. We are. They're not practicing. We are. Now, granted, I'm pretty sure each one of us understood what he meant by that. And that, you know, the players, you know, it hurts for us, too. That's not the right way to say it, though. You can't come out looking like you're attacking the fans. One, when you've been playing like shit. Two, they already are iffy on you, and you're taking sacks constantly. And I get it. He took a bunch of sacks that game. He's taking a bunch of sacks already in two games of the season. I get it. You get hit that many times, and you got to go answer questions at a podium. You're probably not going to say the right thing. You're probably going to be a little bit angry. But you can't say shit like that. And as soon as he said that, the PR team should have cut that like, "Yup. He's not feeling this. Let's end it right now. Let's end it right now because this is not good for him." But Aaron Rodgers, once again, owned the Bears. Congratulations. You own the Chicago Bears. Who doesn't own them?
Yet again.
Good job.
I more so thought it was weird because the Bears, they're not 0-2. They're 1-1. So, like, for him to make a statement like that is a little bit of an overreaction.
A little bit. I think, like I said, take that many hits, you're in a game, and you just constantly keep getting your ass beat. And then they put a mic in front of you, ask you that question. You're probably going to be like, what the fuck you mean, the fans? I just got my ass whooped. Like, fuck out of here. Regardless, it's not the right thing to say, and I'm hoping he'll get it. All right, Monday night, we had a doubleheader. Tennessee at Buffalo, and Buffalo beat the dog shit out of the Titans.
Yeah, it was crazy.
41.
Wow. They're the best team in the league. Clearly the best team in the league.
It's not even close. I mean, Stephon Diggs with 3 touchdowns. They basically, here's what they did. They took Derrick Henry out and said, Ryan Tannehill, beat us. And he had no chance at that. And that is where I think the Titans, they may finish at the bottom of the division. Because if Derrick Henry...
The Bills' defense is like, it's very physical. Yeah. I think you have to beat them in like a shootout, kind of like the Chiefs did last year. Like, you just have to run and gun it and hope you got to win like 45-40. Because you're not going to like run the ball on them.
Yeah.
And then Josh Allen's going to do what he does. So they're a pretty tough team to beat.
They're a tough-ass team to beat. Like I said, Stephon Diggs had 3 touchdowns in that game. Hat trick of a touchdown. And if you were a Titans fan, you had to then go and look at the other game and watch A.J. Brown connect with Jalen Hurts as they whooped the shit out of the Minnesota Vikings in Philadelphia.
Yep.
So Philly hates Jalen Reagor.
They do.
And, man, did he catch some heat. I don't know if Minnesota should have made that trade. Not that I think Jalen Reagor is good, but if they knew they were playing Philly and he was going to create that, that, like, created motivation for him. Man, they went out there. Jalen Hurts is the real deal. He's looking, like I said, MVP. What's his name? Yeah. Mitch Trubisky planned to be more aggressive. That's not news. He's looking more aggressive. What is his name? He's looking good. He's looking at MVP form. They just got it. Next week, I suggest if you would like to start betting, take every over you can involving Jalen Hurts against the Washington Commanders defense. He's going to get it. Anything it says, whatever, take it. Take the fucking
At least
over.
In the rushing. He's definitely at the rushing because if there's anything I take know about Washington quarterbacks, there, I mean, is there anything I know about Washington defenses, it's that they do not know how to keep the running quarterbacks in the pocket. He's going to run for like 100 yards. That's going to be wild.
That's not the only thing they know how to do.
They
got a lot. So Philly now 2-0 at the top of the division, and Buffalo 2-0 top of their division tied with Miami. Buffalo, they're going to play Miami next week. But let's get to these week 3 picks if you guys are ready. Did you want to count them up?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Let me pull mine up.
I think I have yours right here, Jay. Do you have yours, Drake?
Yep.
I got mine pulled up. I can, I can't mark it, but I know all the lines and all that.
All right. And I also have yours in front of me because I did yours as well. But do you want to count, because we're counting the week 2 picks. I got those off right.
I got 11. Wow. I'm surprised. 5, 6, good for me.
I got 7. Let me see. Jay You got.
I feel like I did all right this week, but maybe not. Who knows?
You picked the Jets, so that was a winner. You picked Detroit, that was a winner. Picked Tampa, that was a winner. Carolina was not a winner. Pittsburgh was not a winner. Colts weren't a winner. Baltimore was not a winner. Rams, they won. San Fran won, since he did not win. Denver did not win. Oh, no, Denver did win, sorry. Vegas did not win. Green Bay won. You picked both of the Monday night winners. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You got 9. Drake, how many did you get?
I got 10.
You got 10?
Oh.
So yeah. Drake comes in first, Jay in second, and I, again, lose. Just a big, fat fucking loser.
I don't know how to handle fame. This has never happened to me before.
See, Devon, me and Drake should be doing 9 and 10 leggers, but...
Stay out of grown men's business.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't hit 10 leggers before. That's all right. I got you guys. I got a beautiful one coming up this week. Don't even worry about it. Oh,
disgusting. Disgusting.
All right.
I would never.
I don't even know what the games are this week. Let's see.
I can start you off. Pittsburgh-Cleveland.
Pittsburgh and
Thursday
Cleveland.
Night football. Did you see line that? Is 3.5.
Did you see that ugly-ass photo I sent you? I'll send it to you, Drake. They picked the worst promotional photo I've ever seen for this.
It looked like Nickelodeon. It looked like a Nickelodeon made it.
It was absolutely... I couldn't believe they did Jacoby Brissett like that. It was terrible. I need that job.
Is that's on Prime? That's Prime time?
Yeah, all Thursday night games are Prime now.
Yeah, Prime. It up.
I just sent you the picture, Drake.
Prime time on Prime.
Who are you picking for this one, Jay?
I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Pitty?
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh.
Pitty. All right. Drake, who you got?
I hate Pittsburgh, but I'm going to go with them.
Oh, well, we got a clean sweep because I, too, am going to pick Pittsburgh. And they are a 3.5 underdog to the Cleveland Browns. Simply because Cleveland's at home. It's a pick-em game.
It does seem like a trap game.
I think that line's going to go down to like 2.5 as the week goes along. I think it's just simply Cleveland at home. You get like 3.5 points for being at home anyways.
Fair enough.
That's just straight from Vegas. So you get that. It's a pick 'em game. And the Sunday game started. Houston at Chicago. Another pick 'em game.
I'm going to go Houston.
Houston? H-Town.
I might even bet on Houston.
Actually, I'll take that Houston action, too. Have them cover the spread. I like that. I'm going to go Houston. Davis Mills. This next one. Oh, my God. Look at the spread for this next one. Vegas at Tennessee. Spread is 0.5.
Wow. Whoa. I've never seen that
before. I have never either. You, like I said, you get 3.5 for being home. They have lost all faith in Tennessee and Vegas. That is unbelievable.
I'm going to let y'all pick first.
I'm amazed. I've never seen that before. Wow.
It's tough.
Well, this is a true pick'em game. I advise if you bet on this game, money line, if it's at 0.5.
I'm not betting on this game. I'm staying far away from this game.
I am too. Far away. I'm looking at that spread. That obviously Vegas knows some shit's gonna go down. Well, it's Vegas, so hey.
All right, I'm gonna go Tennessee. It'll take too long. I was gonna let y'all go first.
I'm going Tennessee as well.
Vegas gotta get a win at some point. You can't go 0-3. I'll go Vegas. Let's go Raiders.
That's not good logic.
Kansas City, Indianapolis. Kansas City, 7.5 favorite.
I did not know Kansas that they played City. Kansas City in week 3.
God damn it.
You know what?
I wish they didn't I'm gonna
go down with the ship. I'm going to both pick and bet on Indianapolis. Not gonna be a huge bet, but I'm going to bet on Indianapolis. I'm gonna go down with the ship. If they lose this game, my Super Bowl bet's over. And I'll lose money on the week. I'm going with Indianapolis.
Drake?
Money line.
I'm going Kansas City.
I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. And I'm taking Kansas City.
No. Not going to argue. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense. I know you want to choose that, but you can't.
I'm totally picking with my heart on this one.
This has the potential to be a good game. Buffalo at Miami.
I mean, I don't know why you're doing a promo for this game, but the Bills are gonna beat the brakes off. Bills are gonna beat the brakes off of almost everybody this year.
Yeah,
They're gonna go like 16-2 or 16-1. Okay. 15-2.
I was definitely gonna pick the Bills. Y'all don't think that Miami's gonna keep that competitive though? You don't think that offensive?
No.
Listen, they had their week last week.
They had their week. It was a fluke.
I
Oh. I'm not going to say it was a fluke, but, like, they're not going to be just doing this every week. They're just going to do this every week.
Look, I'm not saying that they're going to go out here and they're going to drop 45 on. Well, they got to put a 40, but they're not. I don't think they can beat Buffalo, but I don't think it's going to be a boat racing. Like you said, you said earlier, it has to be a shootout. And I think Tua can go shootout to shootout. Can he win it? No.
It's possible, but I've also seen Tua. If Tua starts to get under a lot of pressure, which was the problem was for the Ravens, they weren't generating any pressure on him for most of the game. And the Bills should be able to generate pressure. You knock him down a couple times, he has Kirk Cousins tendencies. So I don't think the Dolphins are going to do it. It's still early in the season. The Bills are going to end up being like 8-0 before they lose game.
I mean, I'm taking Buffalo in this game. I just think it's going to be a very exciting game to watch. I'm going to be tuned in for that one. I'm going Buffalo also.
All right.
Everyone said Buffalo. Yep. So far we're all mm-hmm. well. So far I picked all the away teams. Detroit at Minnesota. This is a good spread, 7.5.
I got
that's Detroit. A good spread to pick.
You know where I'm at. Detroit 7.5.
Right.
Man, I might take
that. That's what I said.
That's that's crazy.
That's a good line. That's a good line to pick. You might want to lock that in today.
That seems like a trap game to me too. Damn, I don't know. That's crazy.
That's a good one.
It's over the top. Yeah, go ahead. I gotta stick with my line. I'm picking my line. There's no question. I'm not picking that loser.
Yeah, I'll go with Detroit. I'll stick with Detroit. Fuck it. You know, I'll ride with the team. Ride with the squad. That's our team for the podcast. Baltimore, New England. Baltimore, 3.5 favorite. Why? They should be higher.
I'm going with Lamar.
Because they doubt Lamar. They just really hate this guy. I'm not going to lie. They hate this guy.
I'm going Baltimore simply off the fact of that dumbass spread. It's ridiculous.
Well, the spread's not that crazy because, like you said, it's at home for New England, so let's look at it at 6.5. And then they're coming off like an emotionally deflating loss. So, like, sure. there's always that. But I still think Baltimore. I think they'll pull it out.
Cincinnati at the Jets.
Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Elite quarterback time, baby. It's another his old enemy. Joe Flacco can take care of it.
Joe Flacco.
You need to refer to him as elite quarterback Joe Flacco.
I will not.
Not just Joe Flacco.
I will not. Never will do it. Never did. Never will.
I think you're going to get reminded who Joe Flacco is next week. I'm going to bet the spread on that Cincinnati game.
That's what's funny about Drake saying that Joe Flacco's an elite quarterback. Like, he acts like we didn't go to high school together. And I don't remember how people really felt about Joe Flacco until he got a Super Bowl. Like, I need you Ravens fans to remember what y'all really thought about Flacco.
Times were tough.
Before he brought the ring home.
I was fighting for my damn life. All
right? Because if he didn't have that ring home, this would be a whole different conversation. Cincinnati's got to win. Another thing with Cincinnati that they weren't doing in the last game, why aren't they getting the ball to Jamar Chase more? I don't understand teams that don't want to get it to their best weapon. I don't understand it.
I mean, sometimes guys under a lot of pressure, the times he tries to go to him, maybe he got hit. And yeah, I don't know.
That's what
they got a block for him.
I know, but sometimes you just got to get to your best player. I'm going to Cincinnati. I'm saying him and Jamar Chase cook up. They link up and they realize, you know what? We are the best receiving quarterback duo in the league. At least in their head, they think so. So I picked Cincy. I've picked all away teams. I got an away winner. This next one, I'm picking away again. Philadelphia, Washington.
Yeah, Philly.
I'm going Philly. They're going to stomp the hell out of the Washington.
Come on, guys. You got to pick your team. You got to pick your Commanders.
They're not my team, bro. Not my team.
If you're betting this game, double the spread. It's 4.5. That's because we're home, like I said. I'd raise it to 12.5. They could easily. They could go out here. They could go out here and lose by an amazing amount of number. I don't even know what the score could be in this game. Philadelphia, of course. New Orleans.
You guys need to love your team.
Fuck that team. New Orleans at the Saints.
This one I'm going to go with an upset in Carolina. I'm going to pick Carolina for this game.
I'm going New Orleans.
I think Baker is good enough to beat Jameis Winston. That doesn't mean he's good. He's just good enough.
I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be barely.
Yeah, it seems.
Yeah, it'll probably be close.
This seems like a very good score to pick the under. I'm not sure what it is, but it seems like a very 5-5 type of game. You know, very low score type of game. Very ugly score, but I think Carolina could pull that one out too. Jacksonville at the Los Angeles Chargers.
This is easy for me. Chargers.
Chargers?
Yeah, Chargers.
Chargers here, Justin Herbert. Although we didn't mention, he did have an injury last Thursday in that primetime football game to his ribs.
Yeah. That's right.
I believe as of right now he's still playing, but he was definitely shook up. I don't know how affected he is going to be by that. Better be careful because remember the last person who had a rib injury on that team ended up with a fucking punctured lung. And he's suing them right now.
Yeah.
So he would be like, hey, hey, hey.
As he should.
Yeah, hey, hey. That was Tyrod Taylor. Backup. I'm the pride and joy of this goddamn organization. You better make sure my lungs are protected. All right? Because if you puncture, they could puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung and nothing's really going to happen. Maybe they'll get a fine. You puncture Justin Herbert's lung, Roger Goodell's going to get involved. All right? You're talking about the face, face of the league over here. Rams at Arizona.
I'm going to go Rams. I was just talking about how Aaron Donald's the Kyler Murray killer. I could never, after saying something like that, I got to pick the Rams.
Same. I got Rams.
Upset alert. Arizona.
I knew you'd pick them.
Somehow that little man-child's going to manage a way to get a win and going to get cocky and be like, yeah, I'm the shit. And then he's going to lose six more games in a row.
I don't need study time.
Ooh, look at this exciting game. Atlanta at Seattle.
I'm going to go with your team, Davon, Hot Atlanta.
ATL, hope.
We're going for Desmond Ritter.
Marcus Mariota, you know I'm going. ATL, Falcons all day. Ooh, Green Bay at Tampa. Aaron versus Tom.
I know my pick, so I'm going to let y'all pick.
Tommy. Tampa all day.
Yeah, I'm going.
Tampa Bay.
I'm going. This is hard, though. I feel like, you know, Tom Brady and the team is more comprehensive and better looking, a better showing. But I just feel like something's going to happen and Aaron Rodgers is going to barely slip and win or something. Something's going to happen. Last minute interception to end the game. But I'll go with Tampa.
Jay Bird?
Yeah, I'm also... Also going with Tampa. This matchup tends to go in Tom's favor.
You mean him versus Aaron Rodgers because he's better?
Yeah, he tends to beat him pretty often.
And the Sunday night game is going to be really, really boring. San Francisco at Denver. This is going to be a very boring ass game.
Yeah, tough one to pick too. I'll let y'all pick while I'm thinking about it.
I'm doing Denver.
I'm going to go ahead and take Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle Shanahan, and those San Francisco 49ers beating Denver. I watched part of that Denver game. Russ does not look the same anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Denver. I'm going to pick Denver just so I don't have to root for San Francisco.
So you're going to cheer against Jimmy G?
Yeah, I am. Your favorite. The one you salivated over.
Didn't salivate over. I'm just saying. 76% win percentage.
Look, do you hear him? He's drooling.
76% win percentage. The guy wins games. Monday night is going to be even more boring. Dallas at New York Giants. Who picked? Oh my God. They do this. They always do this at the beginning of the season.
What do you mean? This is a great game. If Dak was playing Dak versus Saquon, it'd be great.
Yeah.
This game's a lock. I'm going to tell you, this game is a lock. The Giants are going to win this game.
Ooh, it's a lock, you say?
It's a lock.
They are favorite 3.5.
I think the Giants got it.
Yeah, it's a lock. They're going to win.
Have I picked Dallas on this podcast? Nope, won't start today.
Yeah.
Giants in the battle of Cooper Rush versus Daniel Jones. Score of that game, what you guys got?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, Davon. I'm going to go 16-11. Watch me nail it. Watch me nail it.
What an ugly-ass score that would be.
It's going to be an ugly-ass game. Ugly-ass game.
16-11. 19-16.
I think I got 35-7.
From Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones?
No, he's from having Daniel Jones
Saquon.
Go
on. Saquon.
Saquon's going to go crazy.
I don't believe in Daniel Jones.
Yards, oh, my God.
250 yards, two touchdowns. Is he on your fantasy team or something?
Nah, he went to Penn State.
I don't believe in Saquon.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Penn State love,
yeah,
right
he's
there.
He's my bro. He's my bro.
But Daniel Jones is not. That's a dookie love.
Oh, no. I don't believe in him.
Do you guys see that? I didn't talk about it last episode, but him and Brian Daboll, they got into an argument on the sideline.
Yeah.
And I was mouthing it with my uncle. And I was like, Brian Daboll's probably like, why were you pick number one? Who told you to go in the first round?
Right.
What did you do to get drafted in the first round? Who did you fuck? Because I want to get that power. Right. Oh, man. Well, those are week three picks. Of course, we wanted to go over some week games, week two games, real quick, review some things. I'll go ahead and knock these dumbass Commanders out real quick. Let me see. Do I have all of my notes? Can't find my ones on Ron Rivera. That's okay. I probably got them memorized. I've been bitching about him all day. Commanders went out and they put up a horrible performance against none other than the Detroit Lions. This first half was unwatchable on all three levels. Offense, defense, special teams. Everyone played absolutely bad. Waterboy probably was horrible, dropping water. It was just an absolutely horrible first half to watch.
Dropping water.
John, guess the number of plays that went through before Jahan Dotson or Terry McLaurin got the ball.
How many plays happened before they touched the ball? Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, it must be something absurd. I'm going to say 14 plays.
Drake?
I'm going to go 23.
17 plays went by. 17 plays. Mm. And that was the first egregious. That was the whole first half because, one, they had like four straight three and outs. And guess what happened when they went to Terry McLaurin on that first time? First down. Their first down of the game, which came in the second half. Carson Wentz turned it around in the second half, but Ron Rivera still has this whole, we're going to ease into it, guys. We're going to ease into the game. Ease. Well, guess what? Your defense is not built to ease into any game. They're not built to stop a game and slow it down at all. They're built to get their ass ran on and ran up. I mean, I don't think Jared Goff is a horrible quarterback, but I do know he was not the Joe Montana that he looked like on Sunday. He had no pressure. He looked comfortable. Defense was just not even there. There's one play, and I told you about it, Jay, and I wish I could find a way to show the clip. DeAndre Swift catches the ball. He falls down. He then gets up.
I saw that.
And runs for a touchdown. Not a white jersey around him. Not one around him. Oh, nowhere. So they lose this game 36-27. They try to come back. Ron Rivera made me pull out the calculator for the first time during a football game. We're down two touchdowns, as usual. He scores. Actually, no. He scores. We go down one, right? Everyone's thinking, all right, let's kick this extra point. 7 point. We know the defense is probably going to give up another touchdown, so we got to hurry up and get back on this field and try to score and hope for something. But Ron had other plans. He decided to go for two. Why? Analytics, apparently. Because all of a sudden now this old dinosaur is an analytic guy. Analytics told you, I'll say this, analytics is right. That if you were to go for 2-point conversion in that situation, it is a smart thing to do because the next touchdown you score, you win the game on the extra point. Analytics also told you last year that your defense was the worst in the history of football since the sport has been played. And you know how he addressed it? You know how he addressed it? He let two of the quality linemen walk in free agency and didn't address it at all. That was it. We didn't sign anyone. We didn't add anyone to the linebacker core. John, me and you got into a screaming match about should they sign or draft a linebacker. Little did we know, they weren't going to do either.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They didn't sign.
That's
they didn't
pretty
draft.
Wild.
They did nothing. They said, hey, we know what we'll do. We know how we fix this problem. Let's go get the duct tape and let's call John Bostic up and let's get him on this team because that's how we're going to solve it. Everything they do is an embarrassment. And now they're doing this thing, Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, where they're taking turns saying who can call out Jamin Davis the fastest. Oh, Jamin Davis, he has to be better. He's got to do better. He's got to play better. He's missing this. We saw it all preseason. You guys keep telling us he was good. You guys took him in the first round. He didn't draft himself in the first round. Why is he the one getting called out? What about that high-paid-ass cornerback that you're paying, William Jackson III? What about Kendall Fuller, who's not doing shit? What about the four first-round linemen that you drafted in the first round? What about them? They don't get called out? Or is it easy because all the whole city changed Jamin Davis? We can call them out. Disgrace.
Yeah, that's why I stopped paying attention to that team because they refuse to like address their weaknesses and I waste so much energy on them. It's like I'm not gonna pay attention to them. But as far as like when you said like he wants them to ease into the game, it's weird to hear someone say that who like not only has coached this game a long time, but he played football. Like you don't ease into football. Like it's a very hard, like difficult sport. You don't just like walk out and warm up to it. Well, yeah, Johnny, I don't know.
He did play football, but he didn't like play on like one of the best defenses of all time, though, right?
There's an argument to be made that he played on the best defense of all time.
Oh, wait, that's right. He did the 85 Bears, right? They're like they went crazy, right? Well, they were all right, right?
Right.
They outscored
offenses that year. They scored more points on defense that they outscored the opponents that they played offense.
So you're telling me they didn't give up 3rd and 16s?
No, they did not.
Oh, so. That makes no sense. So how is it that a guy who is on one of the greatest defenses of all time is a defensive-minded coach and he has the worst defense I've ever seen in my life? How does that work out? How does that work out? Maybe it's because you got a coach who decided he was going to pick everything. He picked the GM.
Must be Jack Del Rio's fault.
Oh, yeah, let's fire Jack Del Rio. That's the answer. Yep. Just like it was fire Greg Minutsky, fire Greg Williams. That's what it is. Let's fire Jack Del Rio because he can make those guys play better. It's not the coaching. The players you have suck. They're not talented.
It's the whole organization.
A linebacker who keeps switching from inside to middle linebacker. I can go on for days. Fuck that team. Fuck the Commanders. Let's go Falcons. I don't even know if that's what the Falcons
are. Lana.
Jay, you wanted to talk about the 99-yard pick interception from... Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, so I was watching that game, and the Chargers were really in control the whole time, and they were driving to the key drive to go up, I believe, either one full score or like to go up two scores, and they got down there, they threw it to their tight end, I forget his name, and he makes this like high effort play, like works as hard as he can to get like to 30, 40 yards to get them down to the 1 yard line. All right. Mm-hmm. He stands up and he's exhausted because it was one of those plays where like he catches it, he's running, someone grabs onto him, he sheds the tackle, someone else grabs onto him, he like drags two bodies with him for like, it's one of those plays where he's just exhausted and he's like, all right, I'm waving to the sideline. Get me off, please. Like, have the backup come in. Like, I did my job. I need a break. Like, please give me a break. And what do? They rush the ball to the line of scrimmage, first and one at the goal line. And not only that, they throw to the guy who said, like, I'm gassed. Like, I don't have the energy to play football right now. Don't make me play football. And they made him play football, and they threw it at him. And, like, if you watch the replay, it's like, yeah, he needed to, like, drive back on the ball to get in the way. But, like, he tried to tell y'all he didn't have the energy to do that. What are y'all doing? And so he throws the ball to him, and the corner just cuts right in front of him because he's fresh. And it was just awful because they threw the game away on what? To rush to the line of scrimmage? Like, you threw the game over that?
Brandon Staley often coaches – oh, damn.
Oh. He's gone.
He couldn't take it. Said he couldn't believe piece. It. He's back. I see he's back right now. That was funny.
A decision to just get to the line, and they thought if they could just get to the line that they would win that game. They're like, we can just get to the line here. Game's over. We got it in our back pocket. But no, you can throw a 99-yard pick to fucking reverse all the momentum.
You randomly cut out at one point. Your screen, like, disappeared. It was kind of funny.
I did. I had to, like, hustle back in to, like, I noticed it was, like, right mid-rant. It was so sudden. It was like, oh, we fucked up. It's over now. But I just reloaded in it. I don't know what happened.
No, but I was going to say, Brandon Staley, he often coaches like he's playing Madden. He has some very questionable decisions sometimes. It's just like...
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it. That's what you would do in Madden. It's like, oh, my player's tired. Who cares?
Exactly. Like, and it's not even so much I'd say he's a bad coach, but it's like, bro, why are you doing that right there? Don't do that. That's not like... No, like... Like you said, go ahead.
I think that the league saw like Sean McVay, and he's like a brilliant mind, and he's like a little bit of a retard.
I know exactly where you're going.
No, he's just kind of like weird in the head, but like, you know, he does have a certain energy to him, so he's not as much of like a nerd as like he plays off to be. But some of these coaches are just like football nerds, and it's like you can't just be a football nerd. You have to understand, like, okay, this player has this sort of like feeling towards this thing, and I need to kind of adjust a little bit. It's like, oh, this player is tired. I need to take him out. Like, oh, this player, he gets a little nervous when you throw screens to him. I can't just like throw screens at him seven times a game. Like maybe every once, like you need to like adapt to what you have.
Human
like
psychology.
Football nerds. Yeah, exactly. It's like human psychology and just like human behavior, how people interact. And some of these coaches are just, like you said, they're like playing a video game and they're not paying attention to that. It's like, oh, we're at the 1 yard line. Let's just get it going.
They also look too much into analytics. They look too much into analytics and they look at it the wrong way. Like, yeah, like, okay. Going back to that instance of Washington, he went back to them. Like you said, analytics said 50% of the 3% of the time, that's the right call to go for. And it would be in a different situation if you feel you have a defense that can maintain. There's different circumstances for everything. You can't just rely on numbers. You know, I heard Charlie Weiss talking about on Sirius XM how he looks at teams who defer the ball all the time, where he's like, I never ever would give the ball up. You know, for the first half, like just so I could say, oh, I'll go down 7-0, but we'll get it back second half because I thought my offense was stronger. Not that I thought my defense was weak. I just felt like I know my offense is going to go down there and score the ball. I'd rather get the points first. And you just have to know your team before you just say, we're going to go with the numbers. We're going to go with the data. Like you said, you're right. It's the football nerd shit. You can have some of that, but you also have to have personality. And that's what's missing from every one of these Sean McVay clones, quote unquote, is that like he can relate. Players, you know, he played football, so he understands. Like, it's just a different, like, he understands he has the numbers and everything like that, but he also understands players. He understands how they work, and that's what coaching is, really. Like, that's what being a head coach of a football team. You have to manage 53 fucking people. You know, it's not
just, I've coached basketball here and there, and it's like one of the number one rules of being a coach is like if your player is so tired that he comes to you and like begs you to take him out, take him fucking out. Like, he's exhausted. He wants to play. It's not that he doesn't want to play. He's just tired.
He needs a break. That's all. It's nothing.
Yeah. He won't be effective.
That is why
it's like a cardinal rule.
That's why you have a depth chart, because you need extra players as a bench. I don't know. He makes some questionable calls sometimes. I think he's a good coach, but I think he needs.
He's a smart play drawing, like play calling guy, but there's just more to head coaching than that. He'd probably be a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And here's another thing that a lot of these guys, when they become head coaches, they don't do that Sean McVay did. When he got hired, remember, his defensive coordinator was Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips had been coaching in the NFL forever. So, yeah, you've got a whole new staff. You still got that old veteran where at times when. You know, there's probably was times where Sean McVay was like, we're going to do this. And Wade feels like, no, we can't do that. Like, relax, calm down. Yeah. This is how this thing works. And he probably listened like, you're right. And that applies. You need to always have, I say this about locker room shit. I think the same has to go for coaching staff. You need a coach who's been there for a minute to say, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I don't think we should
go around. There's unintended consequences that you just need to consider before you do that.
Or sometimes it's just let me talk to that player. I'll talk to him. I know how to get to I've seen this guy before. I know how to get to him. And then that's just what it is. You learn from that. It's just learning opportunities. And I'm sure eventually a lot of these other coaches will learn. Like, what is it? Mike McDaniel. What's the guy out in Green Bay? Matt, what's his name? The guy that coaches for Green Bay. I can't think of his name right now.
LaFleur?
Yeah. All of them that came from that tree and Kevin O'Connell now, who's out of Minnesota. All of them will eventually learn, I think. Drake, did you have a game you saw that you wanted to talk about? I have one more on the list.
I mean, other than, you know, the debacle that happened, there was actually something interesting that happened during the Baltimore game. So there was a touchdown that we had scored that the refs ruled was a touchdown. But then under review, they did not have clear evidence that was enough to reverse it, and they just reversed it. I was like, what? Even the commentators were like, that's not how it's supposed to go. You can't do that. So they like wiped off a score that we had early in the game. And I think this kind of comes back to this idea that I've been seeing floating around that refs either need, you know, to have more consolidated information, or really can't be making these calls willy-nilly that really disrupt the game. Like, is it better that an offensive keeps the score that they've had if there's no clear evidence that they didn't score, rather than lowering the points of the game and just, you know, because that was on the fourth down, so we had to give up the ball right then and there.
Yeah, cool. You didn't have any other games you want to discuss, Jay? I mean, Drake.
Pretty much, I'll just give a quick cliff notes of what I had said. There was an instance where we had scored a touchdown and it was ruled a touchdown, and then the refs didn't have identifiable information that it was not a touchdown, but they still ruled it, you know, change on down. So I was pretty triggered about that. It didn't make any sense. And then, like, even the commentators were like, yeah, this ref probably shouldn't go get any food after the game in the area. I don't think it would be safe.
I always wonder what they're doing when they go into that little tent, that little hood. What the fuck are they discussing?
And they were under there for so long. They were trying to find any reason why it wouldn't be a touchdown. They're supposed to be like 30 seconds. That's all you get. They were there for like 4 minutes.
I don't know.
There should be like a ref clock, like maybe 60 seconds, because sometimes it does get ridiculous. It's like, okay, we've seen all the angles. It really does. Like, you just got to make a decision, bro.
They're putting a pitch clock in baseball.
About time. It only took 20 years.
It's about time. These guys will just have a good old day.
It took them forever. They're trying.
Half the game is just dicking around.
They're trying to get there. Real quick, I want to discuss the Tampa Bay and New Orleans fight. If you're not aware what went down on Sunday, Marshawn Lattimore had got into it with Brady, and Leonard Fournette went to push him off, and then Mike Evans came through with the real blow through and knocked him the fuck out. Mike Evans has been handed a 1-game suspension for what he did, and they have had a history, both of them, dating back to when Jameis Winston was quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was the first incident, and they've had multiple ones since then. Now everyone has their thoughts and feelings on what they think about if he should have got suspension. I heard Tom Brady say on this podcast he doesn't think Mike Evans should be suspended, but what else is he going to say? That's his guy. And I think it was funny that the clip circulated that when the refs were like, why did you do that? And Mike Evans said, that's Tom Brady. What you want me to do? True. If there's anybody that's supposed to be protected, it's Tom Brady. I mean, hey.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't really understand what that means, though. Like, it just means that he should, you know, hit somebody. Did Lattimore hit him, though? Did Lattimore? Oh, he hit Brady?
No, but even if it looks like someone's going to hit Brady, hit him. He's a national treasure. The way they treat the queen out there is how we should treat Brady here. And if anybody gets in any vicinity. Yeah, you fuck him
up.
You
know, you lost me a little bit there, because it's like, you know, I thought he got hit or something, and that's what happened. But if you're just like a guy who's looking like he's gonna hit him, you know, that's not enough for me.
That one's a little hard.
To be fair to Brady, he's not the one who started it. Bruce Arians started this.
Well, that's his own. Bruce Arians. Even more so, Mike Evans is at fault, because it's like you're letting your own team, like you're contributing your team's self destruction.
Well, this starts with Bruce Arians, which leads to the question I asked down before. Why was he down there?
That I can't answer. I've never liked Bruce Arians. He rode his way to a ring with Tom Brady, and I hate it either.
I don't. People aren't. Maybe it's not as big deal as I think it is. I think this is that. That's not looking good for them. If your former head coach is down there on the field, not only that, he's like getting into it with fucking players. There's got to be some type of internal, like, I don't know, man. That seems weird.
At this point, it looks like it's like Tom Brady is the player coach. Everyone else there is like an old advisor, you know, like the presidential advisors. But like Tom Brady's running the show. So like what he says is law.
It just also just looks like it undermines Todd Bowles when he's down there. I just don't like him being there. I don't think he should be down there. Like he was the former head coach last year and won a Super Bowl with him. Now you're coming back down, especially at the time he was down there, because it was tied 3-3. And Tampa wasn't looking good. So now when things aren't looking bad, Bruce Arians has to come down to the rescue and save Todd Bowles. Is that how we're going to look? That's how the media is going to portray it. That's a shit show waiting to happen. I'm not saying that's going to affect them, but that's something they may want to address. And if Tom Brady leaves, then the next year, which it looks like he retired, That's going to be an issue if he's still coming down. Because right now it's not an issue.
Oh,
because you have Tom Brady.
Once Brady retires, that team is going to crumble, and those good players are going to be distributed throughout the league. So
you're 100%
that team
right,
is going to be bad.
You're yeah, right. Like, no. I don't know, man.
All those great linebackers and defensive linemen and wide they're receivers gone. And offensive linemen and running backs, they're going to be spread between the other 31 teams fairly. And it'll be the Buccaneers are going to go back to being kind of like a joke.
Average team, unless they draft a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Or sign right. someone. I don't know. Maybe Jimmy G.
They got a Super Bowl out of it, though. So, you know, it's not the worst transaction.
Yeah.
Maybe they sign Jimmy G and he comes over there and he takes him to the promised
land. There you go. Drooling.
There you go.
It's just because you,
there you, go,
you
dude.
Hate so much on Jimmy G, man. I don't know why you hate on the guy.
He's I have to it. Because you're constantly got this man in your mouth.
He's not in my mouth. Calm down.
You brought him up. He put you.
He's a serviceable quarterback. He's a
you're talking about Tom Brady, and somehow you
I gotta turned talk about into his, Jimmy G.
You got to talk about his backup if you talk about Brady.
Oh, my God.
No? I don't know, man. Like I said, I just didn't like – that was weird to me that Bruce Arians was on the sideline acting like he's calling play. Not only that, he's getting into a player. What are you going to do? What's he going to do? He's got all types of health concerns. What are you going to do out there?
Yeah.
You're talking shit to Marshawn Lattimore? Like, that's part of the form, but it's like Mike Evans should be like, you know, yeah, I'm protecting my coach. But what the fuck are you doing, coach? Like,
they need to start finding Bruce Arians.
I think so. Also, I think if this was the same – and I know it's a different coach staff for both the Saints – and the Bucks, but I feel like, yeah, you find Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore the first time they get into a fight, then you suspend them. This keeps happening the fourth time. I'm going to go to coach like, yo, I'm going to find y'all next if you can't get your players in fucking control. You are the coach of this team, okay? Tell Mike Evans, I don't care how much you don't like him. You're important. You're one of the most important receivers on this game. Stop. And other Saints coach, you tell Marshawn Lattimore, I need you to cover him, not getting to a boxing match with him each time we go. You're no help to me when you're in the back. I think at some point you got to go coach. It's like, hey, get your players in check. They are doing this obviously because they're allowed to. Yeah. Clearly, it's fine by them. So, I don't know. Sounds like some Bounty Gate shit. Jay, you didn't have any other games that you wanted to go over?
Not really. I didn't see the Lions game. I just knew they were going to win. I really just want to talk about that Chargers game. That's all I had on my mind.
NBA is coming back soon. It's getting around that time. They're doing the countdown. It's almost around.
Nice.
Nice. Real quick, any early contenders that you like? Any early teams?
There is only one, Davon. There is only one who will win it this year. There is one.
Yeah.
And their leader is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm.
Okay. That's who's winning it this year, I'm telling you.
Well, no, I mean, we'll see. You know, maybe the
Giannis... I told you. I just told you. I just predicted the future to you.
The Giannis stopper is back. His name is Kawhi Leonard.
Back from where?
They're not getting to the finals.
Back from whatever the
finals.
Fuck he does. I don't know.
He goes into rest mode.
He's got it sweet. I'll tell you that. He can take whenever time he wants off. He'll take a year off. He don't care. He'll take a year and a half. When he's ready to play basketball, he'll play basketball. And he's somehow gotten every organization he goes to be like, yep, that's fine. You want to play? Whenever you want to play. Whenever, Kawhi. Whenever you want to play, Kawhi. Come on. All right. Hey, you don't want to play?
Just let us know.
You don't want to play all next week? Cool. All right. We'll see you back then. No, that's fine. It's a playoff race that we need. But it's okay. It's all right. We'll see you when we get back.
We'll manage.
He's got it made sweet. Speaking of Kawhi, like I said, Clippers. LA Clippers. John Wall there. I got the Clippers.
I wouldn't hate the Clippers. I love Kawhi. But...
of course, you know, also I'm riding with my Memphis Grizzlies, M-Town. All day, John Morant. All day,
Drake. John Morant. John Morant.
Any NBA picks?
Hard one, but I'm a big supporter of Milwaukee. I find them to be a good team.
Fuck him.
I knew you'd say that. Come on now.
healthy Middleton, they would have been a lock. They would have rolled over.
Yeah, come on, man. You can't even lie.
No, I think they probably will come out the East. I don't know, because, you know, Boston might regress. And I'm pretty sure he's not happy.
I think Boston had their chance, squandered it, and they're not going to get that chance again for some time.
I'm not going to say squander it. I don't think they got the medal. I don't think it'll be a long time before we get it. A couple years. Maybe two or three.
To that fan base, that's squandering and
Well, you know what?
They're going to get a lot of abuse.
That whole area's had enough winning, so they're fine. Okay, they're good. They've seen a lot of championships and a lot of rings from a lot of their sports town. When I hear them complain about Bill Belichick, you ungrateful fucks, come to Washington, D.C. Come be a Washington fan where there's no winning.
Well, Boston has Nationals. All the talent. They have all the talent
Nationals,
to win it.
This man said. You've been watching Boston National games lately?
Why are we talking about baseball? No. Why are we even bringing up baseball like it's relevant? What's wrong with you? I thought we wanted our ratings to go up. That's what I thought.
Oh, my God.
I was misled.
The Nationals. I'm sorry, Jay. You were about to say something about an important sport.
Yeah, what was I about to say before y'all distracted me with? It's probably about basketball. Do you remember what I was saying? I don't remember.
Oh, you were about to congratulate Becky Ham on winning the WNBA Finals.
Was I? Because that doesn't sound like me at all. That does not sound like something I would do.
Do not alienate our fan base.
Becky Ham is not a player I would have been able to name on my own.
First of all, she's a coach. Becky Hammond.
Oh,
this is awkward.
She was an assistant coach for the Spurs, and then she became the highest paid WNBA coach.
And she's and on her debut season.
So she's getting paid $17.50 an hour?
Come on, dude.
You're going to kill. I told you, we upped our female viewership. Go around killing. What are you doing, right? They're listening. Okay? Relax, okay?
They killed themselves by putting the WNBA finals on Monday Night Football. Or
I don't know what they're thinking. That was their final. I don't know what they're thinking. I honestly don't know what they're thinking and what they think they compete with. I have no idea what they're thinking. That's ridiculous. But a shout out to her and the Ace. They won the WNBA finals. Are you excited for next season?
For the WNBA or NBA? Which one? What are we talking about? I don't even know anymore.
Oh man! I said, are you excited for the WNBA season? But obviously, you're not thrilled at all.
No. You know what's crazy? You know what's really crazy? Brittany Griner went a whole season in Russian prison. She won't get that back. Part of her career is going to have an asterisk. It's like, what did she average in 2022? Nothing. She was rotten in Joe Biden's presidency.
Oh my God!
In Russian prison.
Speaking of Joe Biden, we'll bring it back to sports, and we'll close out with a three-leg parlay. I saw a video of him today where he's doing an interview with CNN, of course, right? And they asked him if the pandemic's over, and he's like, well, you know, yeah, the pandemic's over. And I'm looking at him, and I've never seen a man where it just looks so hard for him to walk and talk at this. It was a struggle. It looked like he was going to just drop at the moment. Like, he looked like he wanted to tell the guy, wait. We got to pick one. We got to pick one. I can't do both. Physically, I can't. He looked just drained. Like, it was hilarious.
It's not an American president if they don't look like they're 85.
That's true, because Obama went in looking young as shit and came out looking like Uncle Ben, as I always said.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's spin. Where's my whale spinner? To review last week's three-leg parlay... To continue my losing streak, I lost this to parlay. The Raiders did not cover. If I recall right, let me pull it up. Jay, your Lions pick obviously hit because you took them on the spread. And you took the under in the Giants and the Titans game, Drake. And that game was 19-16. And it worked out.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And all I had to do, all the Raiders had to do was steal the game. And we had us... a good old three-leg parlay one, but it did not go through. Sorry about that, fellas. So let's get to spin the wheel again. Drake, since you won the picks, you get to go first. So let's see what team it is you'll be selecting this week.
While this wheel is spinning, I would like to note for our other side topic, because I only have one thing to say, in regards to coaches using video games, there's a very strict formula I have. All right.
Okay, we can discuss older, that real quick.
Older than 50? Yeah, maybe use some video games. Get some clock awareness under your belt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Under 50, stay far, far away. You're already a football nerd enough. Right? Don't need you playing any more football or on TV. We need you interacting with the team and doing what you need. So that is how I feel about that.
That's how you become a Kyler Murray, playing on Call of Duty Spree Days.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he did good this week, because I don't think Call of Duty dropped a pack this week, so I think that's why he did pretty well. Right. Let me see. Oh, Drake, you have the Arizona Cardinals, speaking of Kyler Murray.
Oh, okay.
And when I pull up their game, they are playing, who are they playing again?
The Rams.
Ah, the Rams.
The Kyler Murray stopper.
And Aaron Donald. It's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I actually had posed LA to win.
You can think of a prop. I can look up some prop bets when they do come out and send them to you if you wanted. Because if you wanted to say Kyler Murray prop bet, I could put that in or something like that. Would you be just?
Can
like
you do a, that in a parlay? Can you do that in a parlay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done that before plenty of times. I did it this week and it didn't work.
So you could do like Aaron Donald.
A bad use case, but
you could do like Aaron Donald 2 sacks in one game, and then like in another game, you know, 80 yards receiving from Terry McLaurin. That's crazy.
Yeah, but you got to. So when the prop bets come out, Drake, I'll send you that one, and we'll put that in. So we're gonna go Kyler Murray prop bet.
Okay.
Jay, let's spin the wheel for you because you came in second. Eliminate those Cardinals. Okay.
While this wheel's spinning, I'm gonna give Aaron some news. He's across the room. He was disrespected by our fantasy league's algorithm. He's currently in first place. He is projected as the third. Oh, it cut me off. Oh no, no, it didn't. Oh, he's projected as the third ranking to win the whole thing. He's in one place, first place by himself. He scored the most points in the league, but the algorithm says no, you're third.
Those
the data.
They do that all the time in our league too, where like
they'll
say this one person's supposed to go 14-0 and then they don't. I'm always winning. Jay, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like that. Okay.
Would you like to look at a prop or would you like to just take a spread pick?
Who are they playing again?
Browns Thursday.
Cleveland.
Oh. I said the Steelers. They're the favorite, the Steelers?
No, they're underdogs.
No.
Underdogs?
4.5
Oh, man. Yeah, I'll take the Steelers to cover.
Cover? Got them covering. Yeah. All right, so we'll go prop bet for the Cardinals. And now let's go with the loser of the week, and that would be me, spinning last. Who do I have to select? Please don't be the Commanders. Oh, the Saints, even worse. Who are they playing? Oh, they're playing Carolina.
Yep. Division game.
Let's take the under. The under is 40.5.
It's not going to be Christian McCaffrey's breakout week.
Baker Mayfield.
Fuck it. Carolina on the money line.
What will we do?
Okay.
Plus 130 money line. Pick him game. Fuck it. Take him on the money line. All right. That's a 3-legged parlay for the week. Like I said, look at this. I'll send you some prop bets for Kyler Murray. Any sweet bets you're looking at this week, Jay?
I haven't looked too hard yet. Let me pull up my list again because there were a couple I spotted based on that list you sent. I like Houston and Chicago. I think that's a sneaky little win right there. I think Houston's a little underrated, and Chicago is definitely trash. And then I'm going to say, let's look at these real quick. I think that both Cincinnati and Philadelphia are locks.
Easy. Money line locks.
I think Cincinnati's just got to get a win. And then Philadelphia's just so much better than Washington. Just so much better. Likewise, the Chargers, I might pick them to cover the spread of 7.5. I think they're going to come out and like take their anger out on Jacksonville. But I have to look at what's his name's injury report. Cause that is a huge wrinkle.
Cause otherwise you're going to be cheering for Chase Daniels.
Yeah. And then my final lock is the Giants will most certainly beat the Cowboys on Monday night.
I like that block. For me, I like this Detroit covering the spread. I said it earlier, 7.5. I like that one against Minnesota. Maybe they won't win, but I do think they can cover that touchdown spread, especially at 7.5. That's a sweet one. So if you can get that now, get it now. Next one I like, any player prop bet on Jalen Hurts versus the Commanders. Go for it. Anyone. Rushing, passing, anything. Call it. Simple as that. Let me see. Is there any other ones? There's not too many. There's not too, this isn't a good week of football. This isn't a really good week of football. They always do this.
I don't know. I like a lot of these games. There's, some of them are actually really hard to pick. Like,
yeah, Vegas, a lot of these are tough. Game. They're very close.
They're going to be a lot of close games and a lot of boring games after, like, two high-powered offensive weeks, though. That's the problem. Yeah. But that's football. You never know because who knows. Maybe Houston-Chicago ends up being 50-55. Never know.
I think this week really helps define, you know, who are the good teams and who are the ones that are slipping.
Well, I can
week three out of these tight games are really going to show who's who.
Philadelphia.
I agree with that.
Is Philadelphia the best team in the NFC?
Yeah, in the
East.
NFC?
NFC.
Yeah.
Oh, in the NFC East. In the NFC.
Okay.
Better than Saquon?
Yes.
No, nah, just kidding.
No, the Eagles are not. Well, the NFC is kind of weak right now. I'm still going to say no. I'm going to say no, but it's not a ridiculous thought.
It's exactly. When I heard it, I'm like, no. And then you start thinking, well, who really is better than them? Obviously, Tampa.
Tampa is the only one that really comes to mind. The Rams look like equals.
And then
they look like equals to Philadelphia.
That's it. Because you saw what they did to Minnesota last night. Dallas ain't it.
Hey, there's always my Lions. You know, they played the Eagles, and it was 38-35. Like, it wasn't a blowout.
I like them as a wild card. I like them still as a wild card. I like that.
But you're right. The NFC is very much up for grabs. It's pretty wild.
And it could happen with Philly. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yep. Maybe Tom Brady will go out with a win. He's just going to cakewalk through the NFC and get lucky in the Super Bowl.
Sure. Yeah. I did what? Well, no, we can talk about that next episode. I had a whole theory on what I think, why I think the Green Bay Packers should cut Aaron Rodgers, but to go into that would be a lot, and we've been going for a long time right now, so we can talk about that next episode. Well, that was an enjoyable episode, guys. A couple technical issues and difficulties, but I will work that out. Jay, I'll text you. Talk to you about that later on.
I think it was pretty good. I think overall we did about an hour and 30 minutes of stuff because we had to take a couple breaks, but I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, hour 23 minutes.
That's good.
Good
content.
Let me play, even though you guys won't be able to hear it. The fans, all 9 of you out there, they will be able to hear it.
The almost in outro. Double digits.
big 1-0, baby.
You want to know what's funny? You know what our highest episode is? And I listened to it the other week. It's the episode where I was talking about how thick Jackie Kennedy was.
Oh, no.
That's our highest.
Not that demonic.
46
list of debauchery.
That does surprise me because America's sick, right?
Class A day bomb.
Which means there was a bunch of dudes probably scrolling through Instagram or someone like, yeah, I think Jackie Kennedy's pretty thick too.
There's some real degenerates out there.
The picture that you put too.
Exactly. They just came back to look at that picture because they're degenerates like you.
Hey, I know how to get our listeners up.
You Lord.
Well, like we always said in the podcast, hope you liked it. Hope you loved it. If not, 2 tears in a bucket. Fuck it. We out.
Peace.